Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, an exciting, thrill-a-minute, edge-of-your-seat round of World Lakes.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of dead air, but go ahead.
Let's give it a shot.
It's going to get real eerie.
He feels so superior.
Exactly.
Listen with amazement as our venerable verbalists divine obscure word origins.
It has a certain kind of salty seaside kind of quality.
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes.
I will be gosh darn.
So come play along. The game moves fast, and the score doesn't matter.
Let's just end it there. Were there points awarded?
There were points awarded.
Oh, I see no reason to keep this audience waiting.
I don't either. The wait is over. Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. In Egypt, President Mohamed Morsi has rescinded a controversial series of decrees that gave him sweeping powers. Merrick Kennedy reports that he's also insisting on holding a constitutional referendum in less than a week.
Rescinding those powers has been a major demand of opposition movements, who have been protesting against the president for over 2 weeks now. This came out of a national dialogue session that most major opposition leaders refused to attend. The meeting also set up a roadmap for after the constitutional referendum. If the document is voted down, new drafters will be elected. The opposition front that contains most major leaders and parties will meet today to discuss their response. They've been demanding that Morsi postpone the referendum until consensus can be reached on the document. For NPR News, I'm Merritt Kennedy in Cairo.
Nearly 200 countries attending a two-week climate conference have agreed to extend the Kyoto Protocol until 2020. Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports environmental critics assert the United Nations plan for combating global warming doesn't go far enough.
The Kyoto Protocol obliges 35 industrialized countries to cut their greenhouse gas emissions. It was due to expire at the end of the year. The U.S. never ratified the pact because it doesn't impose binding commitments on China and other emerging economies. Environmentalists argue the new climate deal will fail to slow rising temperatures and avert extreme weather events such as floods and drought. They note vague financial promises to help poor countries cope with climate change are inadequate. The UN's goal is to keep temperatures from rising more than 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. But the World Bank projects temperature increases will be twice as high by 2100. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Hundreds of same-sex couples are expected to tie the knot in Washington state today. The state's new voter-approved law allowing gay marriage took effect this week, but because of a three-day waiting period, the earliest weddings could take place was just after midnight. Patricia Oh and Zunia Ribeiro live in Seattle and are excited to be getting married this afternoon, even though they still can't get federal benefits available to heterosexual couples.
For a long time, we had a little bit more of a cynical view that we don't have federal rights to get married in the U.S., and that means a lot in terms of finances, Social Security, being hospitalized if you're in a different state, immigration and other such issues. So it made us hesitant and a little bit, hesitant to get married.
Seattle City Hall will be open for several hours today. And several local judges are donating their time to marry couples there. This is NPR. Zimbabwe's president says his party is preparing for a resounding victory in next year's elections. As NPR's Ophabia Quist-Arkton reports, he's been rallying thousands of loyalists at the annual convention of his political party.
President Mugabe, the erstwhile guerrilla leader, turns 89 in February and remains as fiery as ever. Switching from English to Shona, he hammered home his well-worn rhetoric, including majority black ownership of land and foreign businesses.
Let's just go for our own people. Banana Matiza, they're mining, and let them do the digging.
On Friday, a farm was seized that belonged to Ian Smith, Rhodesia's last white minority leader before Zimbabwe's independence. The government says the farm where Smith's ashes were scattered has been handed over to a local college. Ofer Biakwistarkton, NPR News, Accra.
Israeli President Shimon Peres says Hamas leader Khaled Mishal has revealed the movement's true colors. Speaking at the Global Business Conference today, Peres says Hamas is a terror organization and its leader does not have his own people's best interest at heart.
He unmasked the real nature of Hamas. To kill, to conquer, not to compromise. The people of Gaza can remain poor and hungry.
Peres says at this point, Israel must negotiate with the only Palestinian alternative, Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas, who's considered by many who opposes terrorism and chooses the path of negotiations. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Syracuse, New York comes from the WRVO stations in Syracuse and Oswego, from Syracuse University, and from the Genesee Grand Hotel, where Says You stays in Syracuse and on the web at GeneseeGrand.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you from the stage of the Palace Theater on James in Syracuse, New York. Welcome to Says You. A simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. They say he's a true man of letters, with numbers not so much. Tony Khan. Hey. They say she's a force to be reckoned, and she's dying to get going. Lenore Shannon. And they say he's the consummate Renaissance man. So how can he be so Baroque? Mr. Murray Horowitz.
I'm glad to be back in the queues. No, is that not a hip thing to say? But it's been a while. Actually, Central New York has figured prominently in my life in the last few years, and even the last few weeks I noted with sadness the passing of Carmen Basilio.
I did not know that.
And in fact, both Carmen Basilio and I, in very different ways, played the War Memorial Auditorium here. He as a great, great middleweight and welterweight prize fighter, I as a clown in the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus.
That's true.
We both fell down.
You're both in the ring.
Right, and he kept his pants up.
To my left, team two, whatever he comes up with tonight, you'll hear it when he hears it. Arnie Reisman. Whatever pun can possibly be made, likely exploited by her, Carolyn Faye Fox. And whatever moment of dignity and grace we have had just better come from her, Miss Paula Lyons. All right, who's going to step up?
The orange punny here.
Orange punny.
Carolyn will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of addenda. Words and phrases so late to the language as to be in the front of the dictionary. Carolyn, what might be meant by systemic risk?
Systemic risk.
Yes.
Is that a medical term?
It is not, actually. Not in the new sense of it.
All right. Is it a computer term?
Well, not really, no.
Systemic risk. It a culinary term? Because if you eat at certain restaurants, you are taking a systemic risk. This is true.
Yes, but it's not
but
what we're looking for.
But a systemic failure is just that. It is a failure that cascades through a complex system.
Well, that cascading,
wreaking havoc.
That cascading is a big clue, absolutely.
Yes, it's like dominoes.
So it can apply to a computer network. It can apply to an electrical system.
It's one breakdown that causes a series of breakdowns.
Yeah. It sure is, and we're going to give you 7 points because you know that, but we're going to go to the other side to clear this up.
Someone once wrote very boldly on a poster, it's the economy, stupid.
It sure is.
Oh, it's you know, the system had this domino. I think it happened here in 2008 is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Systemic risk was miscalculated, and the entire system was a risk that had been miscalculated.
It is too big to fail.
It really
is. The worry that the failure of one financial institution will bring down the whole system.
Nonsense.
Nonsense.
The hell you say.
Right.
That's systemic
this
risk.
This time it's different.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't think this was a new term, but evidently the dictionary thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, what might be meant by dog's body?
Dog's body.
D-O-G-S-B-O-D-Y, just like
the thing. Sure. Dogs have bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. It has a certain kind of salty seaside kind of quality.
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes.
I will be gosh darned. No kidding. Dog's body. Well, anything to do with a part of a ship or a maneuver on a ship?
No, you're absolutely right. This is naval in origin. And I don't mean...
Naval orange?
Yes. Yeah. You were going there.
Was there ever any war that was fought primarily by dogs against the British? Dogs or
sea dogs?
No, you've got 7 points because in the British Navy, it's actually a midshipman.
It's
what they call a midshipman. It's a dog's body. But do you have any idea what the more general usage is?
Oh, 7 years behind the mastiff.
I would personally like to surrender 3 points to Carolyn.
No. Any help from the other side? Any thoughts? No? Any help from the audience?
What?
Yeah, that's... Yes, that's right. From about the eighth row back there.
What did he say?
It is, in the British Navy, it's a midshipman. In general, it's a menial. Someone who does menial tasks and even can be attributed to a drudge. So that's a dog's body.
All these years I've been a dog's body, didn't know it.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is new in the dictionary?
That's what they... It was in the front of the dictionary.
Okay.
Try this one, Arnie. What might be meant by pataphysics?
Pataphysics.
P-A-T-A. Yeah. Physics.
Yeah. I actually kind of know this.
He does know this. He's got a whole book on it.
I have a book on it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't I?
Yes, exactly.
It's not what you think it is. It's sort of make-believe. It's imaginary. And it actually started with Alfred Jarry in the late 19th century, who wrote the play Ubu Wa. You think I'm kidding?
Gesundheit.
Right? Am I right so far?
Not only are you right.
Okay.
You're really right. That's exactly right.
What is pataphysics?
It doesn't exist. It really doesn't exist. It's an entirely made-up world.
And an
ology that's made up.
And it's intricate and whimsical nonsense
meant
as a parody of science.
Of science.
But I cannot believe you have the book.
Yes.
And it's just...
Neither can I.
There's some things you just can't go without.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
What the devil is this? I think I better buy it.
Richard, when you say you can't go without it, where do you read it?
First you take a pataphysic.
For those of you interested in the editing process, there's your first example.
There's your first. You're exactly right.
All right.
Try this one, Lenore. What might be meant by gastropub?
Well, a gastropub is a dive that serves a decent burger.
You know, I could argue. But that's exactly right. That's pretty much it. It's not necessarily a dive, I don't think.
No, it can be sort of an upscale restaurant these days.
Well, it's pub-like. It's not fine dining.
I think gastro no, pub is a redundancy.
Let's just end it there. Were there points awarded?
There were points awarded.
Oh, I see no reason to keep this audience waiting.
I don't either. It's a pub or a tavern that offers meals of high quality. Very good. All right, well, try this one then, Paula. What might be meant by backgrounder?
Well, a backgrounder in journalism terms, I certainly know very well. Is that what you're referring to?
I think so.
A backgrounder is an interview you conduct where you're not necessarily going to quote anybody, but you're trying to understand an issue or a complex problem. So you ask for a backgrounder meeting.
You know what? Very good. 10 points. That's exactly right. An informal, often off-the-record news conference in which a government official clears things up.
They always do that.
And finally, Murray, try this one. Can't believe this is a word. It is now a word. MIRV.
Oh.
M-I-R-V, MIRV.
Oh, MIRV is a kind of missile or This has something to do with...
The RV is reentry vehicle. It's a multiple... Well, yeah. Warhead was the...
It's a rocket of some kind of...
Is it an acronym?
Yeah.
Well, yes, yeah. It is.
Something with I, reentry vehicle.
Multiple impact reentry vehicle.
Oh, MI.
Yeah, MIRV. Now, what do you think is the more general meaning, of course?
Oh, to... To decimate something or to attack something from a whole bunch of different fronts at once? What would be a kind of situation?
You know what? Pretty much. And you knew that it was the multiple impact. I'm going to give you the 10 points. Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Well, it is to split into separate equal fragments. And it refers also to internet packets of information that you can get on. You can start Googling something and MIRV into different areas. So that's what MIRV now means.
And he was a hell of a game show host.
Yes, that's right.
That's what he said.
But it comes from the nuclear age of multiple impact reentry vehicles. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the international guitar duo of Lauren and Mark. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word juju. J-U-J-U, juju.
I think it's upside down. It's nim.
Gentlemen? Holiday season, we just have to ask, have you even started shopping? We're not talking Dad and the twins here, we're talking work, the club, and pets. Well, what could be a more thoughtful gift than a sizzling copy of Says Us, hot off the press? You got volumes 1 and 2, games for all to play, perfect for traveling. Picture this, you're on the pike and hit a 15-mile backup at Bridgeport. Here's 2 volumes, 20 games each to pass the time. Information at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Stop by and contribute a question to the show while you're there. I dare you.
Says You returns after this from home. If I miss one of your shows, what can I do? Well, AC, you can stream the show on one of our stations. If you go to the High Definitions Radio Stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen along. Or you can download any show from our archive. Where it says, Download Says You Here at the bottom of our homepage, hit Here.
Weren't you glad you were here to hear Lauren Barragar and Mark Mazengard? Thank you very much, guys. Whoa. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That's Mr. Gus Sayre on the left and Mr. Benjamin Scherr on the right. Thanks for keeping the score, guys. We have had a few moments with the word juju. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Juju, if you're looking for a meaningful gift for the holidays, you might want to consider giving someone a juju. Okay. Because a juju is a West African charm made of chicken feathers, painted with blood, and tied up merrily with a snake skin. And nothing says you care like the gift of a juju. Maybe it's a gift for Hanukkah.
Showing disapproval is a time-honored custom here, it says here. So you got blood and snakeskin and a West African charm.
And chicken feathers.
All of that. Could be that. Or it could be something else. Arnold?
It's two-thirds of a candy. It's apparently some musical thing they use in Haiti. It's an 8-stringed instrument with a box-shaped body made of tin.
Made of tin?
Yes.
A what-shaped body?
Box-shaped body.
A box.
An 8-stringed instrument made of tin.
Yes.
Is a juju. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Paula?
Well, my juju comes from, I believe, the jungles of Brazil, where it is a decorative vest made from the skin of a three-toed sloth.
Doo-da. Made from the skin of a three-toed sloth.
How old are you?
Exactly. Apparently not old enough.
Well, that's true. They call it solar fleece.
Interesting.
So it's a sloth vest is what we're talking about.
When you want to hang around, you know?
Yeah. I have to say that that's probably three of the worst definitions I think we've ever had. Back to back. So a juju is, and believe it or not, it is one of these. A juju is either a slop vest, an eight-stringed instrument made out of tin. How does it sound?
Tinny.
Tinny, yeah. Tinny.
Plunk-a-plunk-a-plunk.
Or a West African charm of chicken feathers, blood, and snake skin. It's one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, am I pleased to be put into a hole this deep.
I thought it was Zsa Zsa Gabor's first husband. I can't believe nobody said that.
Zsa Zsa and Juju.
Zsa Zsa and Juju. Why not? Well, okay, wait. Could I, Carolyn, could you read your definition again?
No.
Could you give me an impression of your definition?
All right. It's a meaningful gift for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Uh-huh.
A charming
so
West
far,
African
so good.
Charm.
Yeah, yeah.
Made of chicken feathers.
Chicken feathers.
Painted with blood. Doesn't
painted
say what kind of blood. You can use any
okay.
kind you like.
Got it.
And tied up neatly.
Tied up neatly?
With snakeskin.
Snakeskin. Mm-hmm. That is exactly, item for item, my mother's recipe for chicken a la voodoo. And with that in mind, and so many loving thoughts I can't give speech to, I think we should go with that one.
I know it's not the sloth vest, because that's what my cousin Manny used to have after any meal.
Yeah. Somehow the idea of the three toes left on the branch after that doesn't seem like a good idea.
No.
I wonder if that item that any of these are available at the holiday shops thing out at the fairgrounds.
Could be. Yeah. I'll tell you, if it were an eight, I will say Arnie very deftly confused the issue by saying Haiti, because I think this really, juju is a term
it
in
is a,
either voodoo or Santeria religion. And
I agree.
But if it were an eight-stringed instrument, it would
be
the juju.
Right? Yeah. That's,
so right, I'm with you.
Right. Okay, we're going to go, I believe the consensus is, definition number one of Miss Fox. Fox.
Carolyn, they think that...
The five-toed...
Yes. They think that a juju is the West African charm made of chicken feathers, blood, and snakeskin. Is that in fact what it is?
No, it's two-thirds of a candy. No, a juju, a West African charm made of chicken feathers, soaked in blood, and tied with a snakeskin.
10 points. Yeah, it's getting tough.
Yeah, I guess I'm doing it.
Getting tough to fool them over here. All right. Let's go on to round three. Modern Library has come out with a list of the top 100 novels of the 20th century, the top six of which are profiled herein. 7 points for identifying the novel, three for the author.
Oh.
So try this one, Carolyn. Number six on the list. The title for this autistic man's narrative came from the Scottish play.
Well, the Scottish play is Macbeth.
Yes, the Autistic Man's Narrative?
Mm-hmm.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime?
Oh!
No.
Is it an autobiography?
I know what it is. It's not just one narrator.
It's a novel.
It's The Sound and the Fury by Faulkner.
By Faulkner. That's exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Oh. Nice job.
That's just one narrator, though, because there are four.
Yeah. All right. It's very interesting that that's number six on the list of the greatest novels of the 20th century is The Sound and the Fury.
Did you get past the first narrator? That was about as far as I got.
Ben
The Sound and the Fury. Yeah.
I only got through it because it was in a course. I don't think I could have gotten through
read.
It alone.
Yeah. One tough read.
Number five on the list, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
The title for this arena, Where Everyone Belongs to Everyone Else, came from The Tempest.
Came from The Tempest.
Yes.
Everyone belongs to everybody.
Number
else.
Five on the list. The title for this arena, Where Everyone Belongs to Everyone Else, came from The Tempest.
And this is a classic?
It sure is.
Okay. I'm thinking about the Kurt Vonnegut novel of The Carass, Where Everybody
belongs to
no,
a group.
No, that's not
I'll
it.
I'll bet it comes from Prospero's speech. What does he say?
Oh, wait a second. Could it be one of the, like, not 1984, but Brave, no.
Brave New World. That's it.
And if you tell me who wrote it.
Yeah, it's Aldous Huxley.
Aldous Huxley.
You got 10 points. Nice job, you guys. It is. It is Brave New World. By Aldous Huxley.
No
Very
kidding.
Good.
One of the top six of the 100.
That's
well. This is according to these people.
Yeah, this is Modern Library. It's very
all
interesting.
All of these books wouldn't, by any chance, happen to be published by the Modern Library, would they?
You got that
well,
right.
Well, there is something to that. Yeah, but.
Then I know one that's coming up.
Right. Yeah.
Well, don't say it. Don't say it out loud. Try this one, Arnie. Mm. Number four on the list. It has been performed twice in the cinema, twice in opera, and twice in ballet, and once in an interesting, albeit unsuccessful, musical.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
You know this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ballet.
Intimately, I think.
Mm. Twice in cinema, twice in opera, twice in ballet, which is a bit of a clue, and once in an interesting, albeit unsuccessful, musical.
In fairness, I think it's been more than twice in cinema.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Murray, give us another hint.
I can't think
that's
of
it. That's all I got for you, Karen.
No, I can't think of it more than twice, but that's...
There goes Lassie come home.
The ballet of which was gripping, just gripping.
Gripping.
How they got that dog to pirouette is beyond...
You should have seen the swan song.
Any thoughts over there?
Novel, major novel?
No, it's not a novel.
Well, I'm going to go to the other side.
What, Murray?
Well, say it again. One opera, did you say?
No, I said twice in cinema, twice in opera, twice in ballet.
Oh, twice in opera, then I'm wrong.
What did you think it was?
No, I thought it was The Great Gatsby.
It is not.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody from the audience want to shout? No, it is Lolita.
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 Lolita. Vladimir.
As a ballet.
Nabokov.
Uh huh.
Really? I want to see that ballet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As a ballet?
I bet that's some modern dance. Yeah,
that's number four on the
family
list.
Family show.
All right, try this one, Lenore. See how we do. Number three on the list. Of the great novels of the 20th century. Number three, the first allusion in this classical work is to a father whose son soared higher than he.
Oh.
It's James Joyce. It's James Joyce. And it's The Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, I think. Is it Stephen Dedalus? Yeah, no? Right?
That,
yeah. Is that it?
That's exactly
well,
right.
That takes the pressure
10 points.
Off.
Very good.
Nice.
10 points. It is A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, James Joyce, which is number three on the list.
That begins with a children's tale, right?
It begins with a kid wetting his bed, is what it begins with.
Yeah. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Baby Taku.
That's
right,
A nicense little boy.
Number two on the list. Aren't you... Isn't this thrilling? We're getting down to it now.
It is.
I still can't imagine that ballet on Lolita.
Yeah.
Number, I think you can.
Number two. Number two on the list. He was so enamored of the cover design of artist Francis Cugat that he wrote the image into the book as a description of his heroine.
Heroine as in the drug?
No, the
cover of the book was by Francis Cugat.
Yep, number two on the list.
And he loved the illustration
so much.
He worked it into his description of his heroine.
Is this Henry James?
It is not. No. Great novel of the 20th century.
Number two.
Boy, the other side is...
No, this guy's not related to Xavier by any chance, is he?
Yeah. Well, wait till you see what I give him. I'm going to stiff him pretty good.
Mr. Cugat. When was he an artist?
I have no idea. Never heard of him.
Never heard. He's not Xavier's grandfather or anything.
No,
well,
Xavier,
even if he is, I haven't heard of him.
Xavier's brother, actually.
No,
is he really?
Yep. Oh, so now we know at least it was maybe 30s, 40s, 50s.
Okay, does it have anything to do with what the woman is wearing?
Actually, no. Not really. I wouldn't say so, no.
Is it a Fitzgerald book?
It is.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, what is...
So, is it Tender is the Night?
No, it's Great Gatsby.
It is the Great Gatsby. We dragged you there, so we'll take a point or two away, but it is the Great Gatsby, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and it's that blue cover with the lips in the center and the
eyes.
And the eyes. And the
Daisy Buchanan. Right.
Yeah, so give them 9 points for that. Take 1 point away, give them 9 points, but that's awfully good, too. And finally... Try this one.
So this is number one.
This is number one on the list.
No, it's Jacqueline Suzanne, Valley of the Dolls. What's the
and Richard, whom are we sending number one out to?
We are sending number one out to Murray.
To Murray.
Murray, number one on the list. Great novels of the 20th century. It takes the author over a quarter of a million words, 30,000 of them unique, to describe the happenings.
We have the F. We know it.
Ulysses.
By
James Joyce.
Yeah. James Joyce has two on the list, ladies and gentlemen. That's
and you know how I knew that?
How?
Because I haven't read one of those words.
No, but really? Wait a minute. What were you going to say? It took him how many of those original words to get to what?
To cover the happenings of a single day.
Oh, thank you. Right. Yeah. Well, then we would have.
But that has anyone? I want to know this. I want to take a little survey here. Has anyone in this audience ever, cover to cover, read Finnegan's Wake? That's what I thought. I have twice gotten to page 27.
See the ballet.
Yeah.
That includes James Joyce himself. The second half of the book, it has been proved, was put on the page while he was falling out of bed in a drunken stupor.
He did say, when the reviews came out and were less than kind, he said, it took me 40 years to write it. It should take them 40 years to read it.
Well, I'm working on that. All right, let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to create a definition for the word hobber.
Hobber.
H-O-B-B-E-R. Hobber. Gentlemen?
A hobbit who commits larceny.
So many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend the live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Ted is the international guitar duo of Lauren Barragar and Mark Mazengarb. We have had a few quiet moments with the word hobber. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Quiet only in the sense of I was reminiscing one of the lovely garden games that I played in my incredibly wealthy youth. Chicken croquet.
When somebody picked up a mallet, you ran screaming in the other direction.
sort of like that, Murray. You'd lean down on the grass next to the ball, and then they'd have to knock their shots off your nose. Well, a hobber is one of those bizarre terms from a bizarre game. It is a quoit that leans against a peg in a game of pitch, I guess they call it, horseshoes. So it's a horseshoe that can't quite make it.
A leaner.
Is it?
It's a quoit
against,
up against the peg.
Right.
Okay, it's a hobber. It could be that, or it could be something else. What say you, Lenore?
To hobber is to do your job, but only when your boss is watching.
Oh, the opposite.
So, so you just sort of lays off, but then when the old boss comes around, you look real busy. And that's what a hobber is. To hobber is actually a verb.
To hobber. Mm. To do your job, but only when the boss is watching.
Right.
Minute he's not watching, you're out of there.
You're out of there.
It could be that, or it could be something else. Murr, what say you?
Let me tell you something. Alone among the six panelists up here, I am not from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
But if you hang around Cambridge on a Saturday night and you wait till very late at the bar and you ask an undergraduate at the bar, where'd you go to school? He goes, Harvard. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve it, really. Thank you. No, a hobber is a celluloid collar. In the old days, you know, you had shirts and no collars, and you had collar buttons, and you put them on, and I guess it's either a certain style. But anyway, a hobber is a celluloid collar.
A celluloid collar.
That's what a hobber is.
Is a hobber it? A hobber, it could be that. It could be a verb, to do your job, but only when the boss is watching. Mm-hmm. Or it could be a leaner. You know, not quite a ringer, just a leaner. It's one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, is yours.
Well, let's see.
You know,
see.
I thought where Murray was going, actually, if you're in Boston, then you know that harbor is a body of water. Not a collar.
Harbor.
Not if you're drunk on a Saturday night.
Unless you're lying in the harbor.
Right. You end up in the harbor that night.
Yeah, you can end up in the harbor real easy.
All right. So we start with Tony's. Have we decided that quoits and horseshoes are not the same game?
Quoits and horseshoes are not the same. Horseshoe is open, a quoit is closed.
So it's quite improbable.
So it's quite improbable.
I like that.
I don't know. Do you think there's a verb to...
But there should be.
It should be a verb that says if you're
I think that's just a slacker, isn't
you
it?
You do your job when your boss is working.
That's a little more than a slacker. She's talking about that this is you only work when the boss is watching.
But it's imprecise. Does it involve doing the job while the boss is watching, and then the rest of the time, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're on the internet.
You're on the internet.
Right.
And in fact, when the boss is watching, you're on the internet. Yes.
Then there's the celluloid collar.
You know, celluloid collar looks good.
What's that film on your neck?
Right.
Those are the ones that would go spring when you unbutton them.
Yeah.
I like that one, Gene. What do you think?
It needs a word. I mean, did they actually say, wait, I haven't put on my celluloid collar yet?
No, it would be a hobber.
To go along with your bowler.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Murray's.
All right, we'll go with Murray.
Murray, the team has gotten together and decided that a hobber is a celluloid collar. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Hobber, please fake a definition.
Whoa! Hey. Oh, there we go.
Murray. Hey, Murray. Yeah. Murray.
And all I right, did that audience. Because I didn't go to school in Boston.
Yeah. All right, audience, it's your turn. What do you think?
Leaner.
Well, how many say that it's a leaner? How many say it's to do your job, but only when the boss is watching? Tony, I think this audience favors the leaner. Is that in fact what a hobber is?
A horseshoe being open and a quoit being closed. I don't know from this. All I know is that a hobber is a pitched horseshoe or quoit leaning or quoit against the peg.
Is a hobber. 10 points for Tony's fan.
This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Evie Franklin of Knoxville, Tennessee. Evie writes, it's been ages since you did a round devoted to my bailiwick, crafts and interior design. In fact, I bet you can't remember the last one you did. How about an artsy-craftsy Spotlight Round? Well, Evie, we don't remember the last one we did, but we do remember one of the earliest from season 4, when Barry Nolan and Francine Akbar joined us for an artistic little round of What's in a Name. The following people have all made a name for themselves in a particular discipline or endeavor. Please tell me why we know these names. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, Simon Pierce.
Simon
Pierce.
Isn't there pottery named for Simon
well,
Pierce?
You're in the
there
ballpark.
Are these stores. Glass blower.
He is, in fact, it's glassware, wonderful glassware, Simon Pierce. Fine. Very good. 10 points. Tony, Royal Barry Wills.
Royal Barry Wills. Gave him $10 the other day, and I haven't seen him since.
It's a house. It's an architect. Plan for a house. No, it's a house.
It's a house?
It's a house?
It is, in fact, the premier designer of Cape Style houses in the country, Royal Barry Wills, an architect. Very good.
We'll be inspired.
Arnie?
Yeah.
Take that look off your face instantly. Jean Schlumberger.
Oh, well said, Richard.
A jeweler.
What? Well said.
A jeweler. I hope you mean it.
Yeah.
Jewelry?
It is, in fact, jewelry. Jewelry design. Very good.
Jean Schlumberger.
Although I am convinced this is actually Jack Schlumberger from Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right.
Who was getting nowhere as Jack Schlumberger.
Schlumberger.
Right. Did you have a hamburger before you came in here?
Francine, Philippe Stark. Starke.
That sounds like something from a New Yorker ad, isn't it? You know, like Philippe.
So it's not the scotch.
It is not.
It's not the carpets.
As a man who can't afford anything, I can't help you.
The other side is beaming with confidence. They do have some line on this.
So it's something Carolyn would buy. So it must be food.
I don't think so. Looking at this side is really kind of pitiful, don't you
Philippe
think?
Start.
I think we need to go to the other side for some
interior
help on this.
Industrial
and industrial designer.
Designer.
Interior,
a lot of hotels in
that's
New York.
Exactly right. I see visions of blue and yellow and Philippe Stark, an interior designer.
Oh, how could I not know that?
Paula?
Yes.
William Wegman.
Oh, William Wegman is a giveaway.
Your dog's
a gift. Yeah. It's the man who takes the beautiful pictures of his dog. What kind of dog is
Weimaraner.
He again? That Weimaraner.
And do you remember the dog? Right. The first dog.
First dog was Man Ray.
That's worth 11.
Followed by Fay Ray.
Knowing that, that's just wonderful. William Wegman taking the wonderful pictures of the Weimaraners, and finally Barry, Judith Martin.
Judith Martin, Miss Manners.
Yes.
Right. That is exactly right. Miss Manners is exactly right.
Oh, thank God. Because it's something you had to buy.
That's our Spotlight Round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
close tonight with a round of Finger Lakes.
Oh.
From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please finger the world lake I have in mind.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of dead air, but go ahead.
Let's give it a shot.
It's going to get real eerie.
He feels so superior.
Exactly. All right. Try this one. World Lake brought to mind, Carolyn, by the clue, Purchase Lupino.
Ida.
Purchase Lupino. 10 points to own. To purchase Lupino is to own Ida. Oneida, that's right.
Ida Lupino.
Try this one, Tony.
I'm just going to go with Titicaca.
You stole my joke.
All right. I'm sorry.
It isn't that I didn't try, believe me.
Yeah.
All right, try this one, Tony. World Lake brought to mind by the clue, be deprived of Elliot.
Oh.
Inverness.
Lake George.
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness is right. Loch Ness. Elliot Ness.
Oh.
To be deprived of Elliot is to lack Ness. Yeah, so that's Loch Ness. Try this one, Arnie. Ditka for one.
Mike.
D-I-T-K-A. Ditka for one. Mike. World Lake brought to mind.
He's a coach of what? Football, right? You want? There.
Ditka.
Bob? Polish? What do you want here?
We got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it.
Hang on.
You don't want coach. You don't want football.
No.
Ditka is one
of
the
other side
knows
this. What
is he well known for?
Well, he's known for one thing.
I just want to give my answer because I wanted to give it for a long time. Like Chargagagog, Manchagagog, Chibanaganamog.
No.
She's right.
They had to shorten that to Webster Lake, but that's its real name.
Which means, of course...
You fish on your side, I fish on my side, and nobody fishes in the middle.
That's exactly right. Give her 3 points for that. Give her 3 points for that bit of information.
That's it.
But I think that's as far as they're going to go
well,
with this.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Didn't he do commercials?
He did, yes, but that's
that
not...
That is
yes,
not where we want to go.
There is no Lake Bad Haircut.
Is there a Lake Coach?
No, I think we're going to have to tell them, Murray, that Ditka for one
he
is...
He was a bear! Bear Lake.
The Great Bear. Great Bear Lake.
Oh, Great Bear Lake.
Ditka for one, he was a great bear, a Chicago bear. Arnie, that was the tribute to you.
It was?
Yeah, I tried.
And you missed it.
And I missed it.
And now they get ugly.
No.
Try this one, Lenore. Prompt to a winged performer. Winged is in quotes. Cute. Prompt to a winged performer.
Something quick. A winged performer would be
quick the beginning of it?
Cupid.
Q.
No.
Q is a prompt.
No, it's an actual prompt to a winged performer.
Is winged as getting shot in the fleshy part of the shoulder, or winged as...
Some sort of an acrobat, a winged performer.
Who's a winged?
No, it's more along the lines of in the wings.
Enter! No.
Understudy.
Lake understudy.
Standby.
Lake standby. You're backstage, and it's time
to prompt.
Go on.
You're on.
Prompt to a winged performer.
A shove, a push. Yeah.
I have the feeling Paula might know it.
Yeah, since you said it.
Lake
so
Huron.
Lake Huron, yeah. Yes. Huron. Lake Huron.
But we don't get credit for that.
I'm sorry, we can't give you credit for that.
No, we shout it out.
A prompt to a winged performer is Huron. Huron. All right. Should I give her the ugly one or the miserable one?
Miserable. I'll take miserable.
Miserable. All right, you got miserable. Try this one, Paula. Throw blows at precipitation.
Rain.
Oh, I know.
Ponchatrain.
Ponchatrain is exactly right. Wow. Punch at rain is exactly right. And finally, let's see if he can do this one. It's for the honor of the game, Murray.
So I get ugly.
Yep, you get ugly. Broadway producer David's zygomatic cilia.
Merrick. Zygomatic cilia?
Yes.
Well, cilia is hair.
It's hair.
Hair.
Merrick something hair. Zilly. What?
No, zygomatic cilia.
Zygomatic.
Yeah.
What's a zygomat?
Zygomat is a smile.
Oh, so it's Merrick smile hair. Lake Merrick smile hair.
Mustache. Lake mustache.
No, it's a little higher than that.
Merrick cilia. Nobody's been sillier than we have tonight.
Other side, do you know it?
Yeah. Well, now we do.
Now you do? Okay.
Maybe. Maracaibo.
Maracaibo is right.
Eyebrow.
Producer.
Maracaibo.
Zygomatic cilia is an eyebrow.
Eyebrow.
It's Maracaibo. Lake Maracaibo.
Oh, wow.
And that's the way I chose to end this week's show. But it's a 97-point day and a big victory this week for Tony Khan's team. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. I want to thank Mike, Amy, and all the good folks at WRVO, all the WRVO stations, for making this possible. Thanks also to Mike Hegarty and the Palace Theater on James for being such gracious hosts. Sharon Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliart is the Secretary of Sound, ably assisted by Mike Angelillo. And Zach Moore meets crisis after crisis with steely resolve. My son Benjamin offers this week's closing thought. His scientific experiments in sixth grade science have told him that it takes precisely 4.06 seconds for a silence to become awkward.
Love it.
You're just about right, Benjamin. Thanks for being such a great control group, Syracuse. See you next week.
Support for Says You in Syracuse, New York comes from the WRVO stations in Syracuse and Oswego, from Syracuse University, and from the Genesee Grand Hotel, where Says You stays in Syracuse, and on the web at GeneseeGrand.com. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.